It's the Betty Witherspoon Show.
And here's Betty!
Thank you very much. And as for you three, you can all go home now. I won't need any more help. That little bit at the beginning just gives me the confidence I need to continue on my own. So here we go.
All right. We don't want all those cadenzas. All that pizzicato rubbish.
Don't worry, son. Your turn will come. But right now, leave this to someone with experience.
Experience of what, might I ask?
Life, son, life.
I should give you life, mate, for all those terrible jokes you've cracked over the years. Oh, the old sex, I'm not kidding. Isn't it about time you retired, honestly?
Isn't it, go on? Oh, that I could, Ken. Oh, that I could, young Ken.
Oh, thanks for the young.
Young Ken. Oh, yeah. Oh, but I'm afraid the bright new young men aren't there to step into my shoes.
It's not everyone takes size 14. What have you brought that violin with you for, anyway? It's better than having to listen to you speak without having to scrape away at a bit of catgut.
But of course you don't realize that we musicians are a delicate lot.
You can say that again.
I can say it again?
Yes.
Well, can't you hear me? We musicians are a delicate lot, said he, recovering very quickly.
Whatever gave you the idea you were a musician?
Well, you may have noticed that every week I bring along a long, black, oblong box with me.
Oh, that!
Yay!
Oh, I thought you were preparing yourself for the future. What? Oh, we'd never have had this trouble. We booked the Hoogee menu in the first place.
Ah, I'm glad you said that.
Oh? Well,
I'd have you know I served my apprenticeship at the same time as Menuhin.
You did?
Yes, I did. Mind you, it was in plumbing.
Oh, well, your violin sounds more like the bagpipes.
Like it. Of course, you wouldn't appreciate my playing. I suppose you're full of all this pop nonsense. I'm a classical musician. Opera is really my bent.
You said it. You said it, Madam Butterfly. If you're not careful, I'll give you a kick up your labo in.
Oh, it's obvious. It's obvious to me you know nothing about culture.
Looking at you, I know why they coined the phrase culture vulture.
Good.
I suppose you'll be telling me next you've played with the BBC Symphony Orchestra.
That just shows how ignorant you are, Kenneth. Symphony man, not sympathy orchestra.
Anyone who played with you would need sympathy, mate. Sympathy, especially mine.
It's pretty easy for you to talk, isn't it? Can you play the violin by any chance?
I don't know. I never tried.
I bet you can't play pianissimo.
No, but I can play chopsticks on the piano, on the black notes on the piano.
Ah, no, pianissimo. How I love to hear a pizzicato on your andante obbligato.
Keep it clean. Family show. Come on, be serious. Time for my song.
Why, it must be serious if it's come to that.
You may join in if you wish. The fact that your microphones aren't plugged in is not an accident. Maestro, music, please.
Come along and sing with us. Just raise your voice and bawl. A type of horrible cockney song that killed the music hall.
Oh, we loved our wonderful Mari Lloyd. She was graceful and feminine. Those stage door kisses from her lips that tasted so sweetly of gin.
I remember well that night at the Met. I sat in the orchestra stalls. The white-eyed capper did his act, and the audience shouted, "What more?"
Oh, come along and sing with us. Just raise your voice and bawl. The type of horrible cockney song that kills the music hall.
In the olden days, for a penny, no more, you could have a seat in the gods and see the grace of yesteryear, but you could hardly hear the words.
I recall the night Nelly Wallace retired. Of emotion, there was no lack. At curtain call, they shouted out, "We want our money back!"
Oh, come along and sing with us. Just raise your voice and bawl. The type a horrible cockney song that kills the music hall.
Oh, the golden stars of the music hall! We've seen them, and this we state.
Compared with them around today, they were a load of rubbish, mate.
Over now to the intelligence department of the New Scotland Yard for an urgent message from Chief Inspector Spules.
This is Chief Inspector Spules with Knox 5. I would like here and now take this opportunity to deny categorically the terrible charges that have been levelled against a member of the force, Constable Eric Twack. There's been a sad miscarriage of justice. He should never be in jail. He was merely the victim of circumstance. He was just tying up a young lady's shoelace when a member of the criminal fraternity came along behind him and shouted, "Hands up." I just like to put the record straight.
Well, thank you, Inspector Spules.
Au contraire, my pleasure, cheeky.
By the way, Inspector, they tell me you get quite a bit of fan mail at the yard, Inspector.
Oh, yeah, there's been a tremendous flood of mail at the yard all week. I put it down to my charm.
I don't suppose you'd read one of your letters to us.
All right, here we go. Chacun a son goût, or I hope your gout is better. Dear Inspector Spules, my husband is obsessed with your program, Narx 5. Whenever you are on the radio, it's all I can do to drag him away from it. He's afraid someone will turn it on. Oh, it's just signed very simply, Mother.
Well, how very moving. You know, listening to you reading that, Inspector, yes. I was really touched.
Were you?
Yes.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of that sort of thing going on, I especially within the Beeb or the BBC, depending on your proclivities. Can be very nasty. Would you like me to send a squad car around?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to give them up. Don't bother, Inspector. It's no trouble. Don't bother.
Oh, au contraire. No trouble at all, bright eyes.
Goodbye. Look around and see him sometime. What it looks like. And now... Yes, fans, it's time for Witherspoon's World. Our distorted look at the world around us. And this week our documentary subject is medicine. I must say, we've made great medical progress in the last generation. What used to be merely an itch is now an allergy. And you don't have heart disease anymore. It's now called a heart condition, making it sound somewhat attractive, possibly a status symbol. My own doctor is a bit of a sadist. He keeps his stethoscope in the deep freeze. Yup! Only the other day he was telling me of all the trouble he gets from hypochondriacs. The people who pester him, day in and day out.
Hello, Dr. Presume speaking.
Dr. Livingston, I presume?
Yes, Dr. Livingston Ignatius, presume.
Oh, very nice, thank you, yes. This is Mrs. Raquel Welsh of Hendon here, Dr. Presume. It's those slimming pills you gave me. You forgot to tell me how many to take.
Oh, actually, Mrs. Welsh, you don't take them.
You don't take them? Doctor, don't be ridiculous. Look, if I don't swallow them, how on earth are the pills going to help me to slim?
Well, Mrs. Welsh, it's quite simple, really. You see, you just spill all the pills on the floor twice a day and pick them up one at a time.
Oh, hi, Doctor. I'm Mr. Raquel Welsh of Hendon.
Oh, yes, you must be one of the men your wife was telling me about. What is it?
Well, see, Doctor, we're having a terrible problem with them pills you prescribed for Raquel. If she has alcohol after she's taken them, she's wanting to make violent, passionate love to me all the time. One small gin, and she won't let me alone.
Oh, I see.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah. I suppose you want me to prescribe her a large bottle of tranquilizers.
No, John, I want you to prescribe a large bottle of gin.
Dr. Presume's surgery?
Dr. Presume, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm suffering from continuous fatigue and lassitude. It's terrible.
Oh, yes, I know all about it. Your husband has been around to see me. As you know, Mrs. Welch, there's nothing organically wrong with you. I suspect that the problem is merely functional. The best advice I can give you is to cut down on your love life by half.
Then which half do you suggest I cut out? Thinking about it or talking about it?
And then there are the hospitals, the places where they wake you up at 4 a.m. to give you a sleeping pill. And the worst thing about them is the people you meet there, the other patients.
Hello? Yes? Oh, I see, yes. Who's speaking? I met you in hospital. Oh, did I? You're in the same ward as me. I can't say I do. What's your name again? Oh, hello, Mum.
But even with the best medical care, sometimes the patient fails to respond. To be truthful, I've always thought it ominous that doctors are usually described as practicing. And in these fatal cases, you'll find some sad, solicitous group of relatives gathered round the deathbed.
Is my cousin the king of all the Russias here?
Yes, your majesty.
And Helga, my niece, the countess of Herzegovina and Lower Dnieper.
Yes, I'm here.
And the grand duke of Moldavia and Wallachia, my nephew.
Yes, sir, I am here.
And what of Crown Prince Rupert, Duke Brinsberg, Elector of Hesse and Lesser Margrave of Saxe-Weimar. Is he here at my bedside?
Your Majesty, I am here. All the family is here.
The bleak nose looking out for the whelk stole.
Of course, up in the land of Dr. Snoddy, medical science is more folksy and homely. As our Witherspoon's World reporter found out in the Isle of Skye.
Well, here I am in the Isle of Skye, where I hope to find out what effect the pill has had in the land of Rabbi Burns. Madam.
Yes, Ducky.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have asked what was under your kilt first.
Yes, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Madam.
Aye?
Can you tell me up here in the Highlands what you find to be the most effective oral contraceptive?
Okay, a very firm no, the no.
But I understand that you do have something that's even better than the pill. It's a mixture of malt whiskey, honey, and porridge oats.
Okay.
Now tell me, do you take that before or after?
Oh, no, instead of.
Well, thank you, thank you. I think that's about all we can take of Witherspoon's World of Medicine. The important part of Janet in that last item was played by Miriam Margolis. The rest of Janet was played by Jimmy Logan. Next week, our documentary will be about ecology and the polluted planet entitled Cleanliness is Next to Godliness. In Birmingham, it's next to impossible. One overlooked aspect of entering the common market is the effect on the traditional English joke.
For example, will people in Bolton laugh at qui était cette femme, je, vous, avec vous, dernier, soir? That was no lady, that was Danny LaRue. Or... or Street, as he's known over here. With awful jokes like that in mind, the government has set up the Joke Marketing Board, which is holding its first committee meeting roundabout now.
Thank you very much. Okay, yes, my boy. Now then, come on now, laddie, now, please, now. Will you turn it up? If you don't mind, now, a little order, please, a little order.
Make mine a small gin and tonic.
Is that enough of a promise, laddie?
Get on with it.
Just a moment, now, let me get on with it. I'd like to welcome one or two people to our meeting tonight, some very important people. And sitting at the back, there's someone our industry couldn't do without. Yes, it's Julie Edge. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, it's not Julie Edge. It's two bald-headed men sitting together. Sorry. Well, you come with them all, lady. Now, let's get down to the first item on the agenda, as the actor said to the bishop. I want...
That's right, lady. You lay them, I'll sell them. Loosen them, dear. Loosen. Throw something out. Mind the mic. Mind the baby in front. And while you loosen them, lady, you might as well touch your agendas. Now, listen. Recently, one of Britain's oldest and best loved jokes, why did the chicken cross the road, or my dog's got no nose, how does he smell terrible, was sold in the antique auction of Sotheby's. We fear.
Yes,
we fear. And the French do too. It'll end up at the Olympia Theatre of Paris.
Oh.
Now, what we've got to decide now, lady, is how to prevent this. Any suggestions?
Well, Mr. Chairman, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the meeting today. I called to see the French ambassador, and his wife opened the door in her nightdress.
Funny place to have a door.
No, seriously, have you seen that woman? Why, she's so ugly, they use her as a bird scarer at Paris Airport. That is a fact.
Can we keep to the subject in hand?
As the actress said to the bishop.
Order!
I don't mind if I do.
Now, look, we've got to keep this European influence from our shores.
What shores?
A pint of old and filthy.
Talking about filthy. Did you hear the one about the Englishman, the Irishman, the Scotsman, the lady of easy virtue?
I don't wish to know that. I'd like to propose some immediate joke legislation.
We've already got that at Westminster.
He's got a point there. He's got a point. And when he takes it out, so he can see it. As I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted.
Rudely,
it's all the same. Please just have it. Don't matter. Jump on. It must be an easy way to earn a living than this. We gotta hit these froggies where it hurts.
Where is that?
On the funny bone.
On the funny bone.
Never a dull moment. Look, the plan I propose is to extend the British Senatorial joke limit. Now listen, lady, to 1 mile. 1 mile, that's all, lady, to prevent French marauding parties from pinching.
Bottom.
Where do you live, sir? Where do you live?
Shepherd's Bush.
Good, there's a bus leaving for Shepherd's Bush in 5 minutes. Be under it. As I was saying, we need to extend the British territorial joke limit to a mile, lady, so they can't pinch all the best material from the end of our peers.
Whatever happened to the Duke of Bedford?
I don't know.
One of our peers is missing. Ah!
God, blimey, didn't it murder? The French have struck lately. We mustn't waste any more time. I'll ask the meeting to be upstanding and joining our committee song, lady. Let a smile be your umbrella.
Let a smile be your umbrella.
And now, as we approach that sublime moment when Betty Witherspoon's Theatre of the Air takes to the air another item of interest to lovers of the arts, ballet.
Ballet what?
Ballet. And we are pleased to welcome that very lovely ballet dancer, Dame Alicia Bacharach, who is this week dancing the title role in Swan Lake. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Dame Alicia.
Good evening.
You're not Dame Alicia, are you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Good heavens. Dame Alicia Bacharach?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, I thought you said Edgar Strong.
How could you possibly have thought that? Oh, so you are Edgar Strong?
No, Slugger Martin.
Well, where does Edgar Strong fit in?
Well, he left us to eat between us if he turns up. Anyway, let's forget about him. Just go and ask me the question.
This is very disappointing. Very disappointing. I was expecting Dame Alicia, the ballet dancer.
She couldn't come. That's why I'm wearing a dress.
I'm sorry, but I don't see the connection.
Oh, there's a zip up the back.
Well, there would be, of course. No, between you and Dame Alicia.
I'm standing in for her.
Oh, I see.
Well, sitting in, really. Yeah,
sitting in, yes.
So you just go right ahead and ask a question.
I don't know what to say now. I see you're a ballet dancer too, then.
Yeah, I'm a leading contender for the British Light Heavyweight Ballet Dancing.
Light Heavyweight? That's boxing.
Oh, yeah, that's the word. Boxing, not ballet dancing.
But I was going to ask questions about... Oh, never mind, I'll have to do my best. Well, Dame Alicia, Dame Slogger Martin, whoever you are, how long have you been interested in ballet dancing?
Oh, I'm not really. I'm more interested in boxing.
Oh, of course. Silly me. Silly Billy me. What is it about your occupation that you particularly like? Is it perhaps the exciting music, the agile leaps, the graceful control, or the classical poses?
No, none of them really. I just like punching people.
Charming, I must say. Well, Slogger, now look, to sum up, you've danced, boxed with most of the great boxers, Margot Fonteyn, Larissa Markova, Rudolf Nureyev, and Dame Henry Cooper. Who would you say? Who would you say was your favourite dancer?
Mohammed Ali, I think. Mohammed Ali, that beautiful footwork. We've done.
Yes, really. I do. Well, my old dear, I don't know what to say. What is your favourite ballet song, your favourite ballet?
I don't know, I never saw one.
I don't suppose there's any faint chance you have a favourite role, have you?
Well, matter of fact, I have.
Really? Ah, now we're getting somewhere. What is your favourite role?
Susan Tomato. Oh.
And now we'd like to present Betty Witherspoon's Theatre of the Air. This week we'd like to present our tribute to Charles Dickens, an excerpt from his best-selling novel, A Tale of Sue's Titties.
You!
Hey, litter of blooming crumb! Still, what do you expect from these cut-price announcers? They won't pay you, see. They won't pay the money.
I'm sorry. We proudly present an excerpt from Charles Dickens' novel of the French Revolution, A Tale of Two Cities.
Well, that's better.
Over now to where Sidney Carton awaits execution in a dungeon somewhere in Paris.
Another kiss from the pale, cold lips of Madame la Guillotine. The gleaming knife, the bloody framework, the creaking basket.
Monsieur, that is no way to speak to our French jailer.
Look, when I need you, Mush, I'll call you. That was my big dramatic moment, utterly ruined. Until you put your oar in, I had the audience in the palm of my hand.
Which gives you some idea how large this audience is.
Thank you. Your grace, may I point out, Monsieur Ray, are very considerably sour.
Mon Dieu, they're not showing, are they?
Oh, you're just jealous, aren't you? Jealous because you can't act.
Oh, no, Kenneth.
You can't act.
No.
Jealous of my moment.
Well, just now, I was going to say your acting is... Well, I can't quite think of the word. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Stupendous?
No.
Scintillating? Terrific? Supreme?
No.
You know, Ted, you've got terrible vocabulary.
Terrible, that's it. That's the word. Now, I'll really get back into my character now.
Je vous remercie de vos remissions, de vrais bichons, de six bourgeois, de stone mounière. Le goût du vin? Yes. Oui, je suis prêt.
Hello, you fool, you great Gallic twitch. Here, come. Shut here. No, shut up, Larkin. Here. Listen. They're all agog for a glitter.
I am agog too, monsieur.
No. They're all agog for a glimpse of my soliloquy. Yes, 20 minutes in the BBC theatre hasn't dimmed their creative urges altogether.
Few are so weary of life's load as I, Sidney Carton. The world in which I have done so little and wasted so much fades from me. And so, my dear friends, I ask you to put your hands on your hearts, to rise to your feet, and look to see if you're sitting on the rest of this blasted speech.
The pages, monsieur.
The pages. The pages, monsieur. Monsieur Carton, your lover, Miss Lucy Manet, is with us.
So am I at the moment, mate. Oh, I see. Oh, Lucy, oh, yes.
Ah, show her up.
What, in front of all these people?
Oh, better these cheap jokes, mate. This, after all, is Dickens.
Oh, blimey, if it's Dickens, it's lousy Dickens.
The way you play it, ducky. It's after all, I mean, open the door, lift, lip.
Oh, Lucy.
Oh, Sydney. Oh, ma chérie.
Lucy, do realize you're 3 hours late.
Oui, oui.
That's no excuse, dear.
Mon Dieu, I can hardly believe my eyes. Is that you, Sidney Carton, in those torn, ragged trousers? Or am I seeing things?
Both.
You can't consider this for nothing, girl.
There's a terrific draft in here.
I've had a terrific draft in there as well.
Has it been hell in here, Sidney?
Oh, yes, Lucy, the executions of the past month have been terrible. Did you see the king's tumbril the other day?
No, I looked the other way. Oh. Actually, when he passed by on the way to the guillotine, I was in the sitting room waving my hair.
Waving your hair? Couldn't you afford a flag? Oh, Lucy, I'm at my wit's end. I've never been so low in all my life.
Courage, Sidney. When you're in a mood like that, you should try to count your blessings.
That's a good one. Here behind the desk, then, and you talk about counting my blessings. What am I going to be thankful for?
Well, for one thing, you've got me.
Ah!
Oh, farewell, Lucy. Farewell, life. It is a far, far better thing that I do now than I have ever done. Oh,
I haven't done much.
Oh, only regret, I have but one life to give. And my only regret that I've been well taken it.
Do you love me, Sydney?
I think so.
Oh, Teddy, I don't think I know.
I don't think I know either.
Oh, Lucy, I'm too old to die before my time.
Courage, mon brave, I'm just as scared as you are.
What the hell have you got to be scared about? It's me who's being topped, not you.
But Sydney, you must die like an English gentleman.
That is true, yes, yes.
After all, you've always travelled with the upper set.
The upper set.
By the way, whatever happened to the lower set?
I sit under the bed in a glass of water. Oh, God, the guillotine in the cruel blade. I can't go on. I can't go on. I can't go on.
Thank goodness for that. And now, well done, well done. And he will be. And now, to fill in the next few minutes, a violin tribute to Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson entitled Scrapbook for 1908. Yes?
Look here, mate. You've just ruined my piece de resistance. I mean, nobody knows the drama as well as these people in the auditorium. I mean, they don't get it all. But they would fail. They would fail. None of them would fail to thrill to my Sydney Carton.
Oh, take the notice, dear. Go on.
I can't go on. I can't go on.
Oh, go on. Don't be so unprofessional.
Look, dear, I was acting. When I said I can't go on, I didn't mean I can't go on. I meant
I can't go on.
Oh, go on, force yourself.
List! Rescue the tan. Vive la liberté. They're storming the prison.
Don't get so excited, ma chérie. It's only a stone through the window.
Wait. There's a note wrapped round it.
A note wrapped round it.
And it's from the British ambassador.
A reprieve. I'm saved. What does it say?
I don't know. I cannot make out the writing.
Give it to me.
Oh, what does it say?
I can't quite make out the writing.
Oh, give it to me. What does it say? Windows mended. 5 francs a pane.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's fun. It's a lot of nonsense, but we love it, isn't it? Hope you do. Next week, the Betty Witherspoon Theatre of the Air will present the story of the socialist actor who came into the theatre one night and announced the election result. And it's called, wait for it, Loves, Labour's Lost. I would just like to say, on behalf of Betty Witherspoon and myself, how nice it's been having you with me. Bye-bye.
The Betty Witherspoon Show starred Ted Ray and Kenneth Williams and featured Miriam Margolyes and Nigel Reese. The script was written by Michael Whale and Joe Steeples with additional material by Derek...